Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But if you can please open up your Bibles with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And we'll be reading in the book of Psalm the whole chapter. And we'll also be going to 1 Samuel chapter 21. So if you can just maintain your place in both of those spots, Psalms 34 and 1 Samuel 21. But the word of God says this in Psalms 34. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord, and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. And those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies, and turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. And the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bone. Not one of them will be broken. And evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. And the Lord redeems his servant. And no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. And the church says, I'm just asking that you participate with me in this morning. I'm hoping you can praise the Lord in all times. And the church says, it's helpful from time to time to remind ourselves of those things that we are thankful for. The word thank relates to the word think. It should be easy to understand then that thinking always precedes thanking. When we receive the gift, it is not only when we, it's not only as we stop to think of the significance and the meaning of the gift that we are led to express our appreciation. Sadly, we live in a society that's very thankless. Jerry Bridges writes these words in his book, Respectable Sins. There is no question that the increasing moral decadence around us is appalling and scary. We often wonder how bad it will get. But the next time we judge these people, we need to ask ourselves if we have in some way contributed to their downward spiral into moral corruption through our failure, along with theirs, to honor God and give him thanks. He argues that quite possibly that the first step in culture towards a moral degradation is the failure to honor God and give him thanks. We live in a society today that is prideful and does not acknowledge God for anything. Church, shouldn't we give thanks to the Lord in all times? I pray that our text this morning stirs our hearts to thankfulness for what the Lord has done and for what he will do.
Maybe you are struggling this morning. Maybe you've had a bad week, a bad month, or maybe you just had a bad year. But this morning, I want to remind you that even if things seem bad, we can still find joy, contentment, and thankfulness in the Lord. Things are never as bad as they seem to be when the Lord is on your side. This leads me to say, church, in all times, I will bless the Lord. Can you say that with me today? In all times, I will. You guys can finish it. Amen. You will notice in the beginning of our psalm that the heading states, a psalm of David when he pretends to be insane before Ahimelech. So he threw him out of his presence. Our psalm gives us an idea of the historical setting. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, we see that Saul, the king of Israel, is determined to kill David. David flees from Saul. And at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 21, David comes to a town called Nob, where Ahimelech, the prophet, the chief priest, gives David something to eat and a weapon. And from Nob, David takes heed to the city of Gath, which is where we pick up in verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10 states these words. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. And David took these words to heart, and he was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servant, "Look at that man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" David fled to Gath, which, by the way, was the home of Goliath, whom David killed not long before in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He certainly did not expect to receive a welcome home party, and to add insult, while he is in the territory of his enemies, he is carrying a weapon, a sword, given to him by the chief priest, which was the sword of Goliath. David enters the city of Gath in the territory of his enemy with the sword of their champion. Talk about boldness. David fled to one place where Saul would not think of. And when he gets to the city of Gath, the people recognize David and they seized him. He is brought before the king, leading David to act like a madman, which apparently works. Please do not act like a madman when you are going through difficult situations. So grasp the scene. David is on the run from King Saul, and David is now caught in the hands of his enemies in the city of Gath. Let's just say David wasn't having a good day. And it's from this experience where David recalls and writes Psalm 34, known to be a psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 34 is not only a call for God's people to celebrate with David their deliverance from affliction, but also to prepare us for our own affliction in the present or in the future. Church, we all will go through hard times. We see it in the first line. I will bless the Lord at what? At all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Why say at all times? Because there are times when praising the Lord would not be fitting for some people. At sometimes praising the Lord in times of pain or difficulty may seem unusual or difficult. So many assume that to praise God can cease. Yet David, having gone through such affliction, he claims, "I will bless the Lord at all times." In O Church, I hope that you can continue to say that with me today. In all times, I can and I will praise the Lord. To bless means to show appreciation or to show gratitude. It is a word that is used often of bowing or kneeling down to show the respect that is due to someone worthy of appreciation. So when will I bless the Lord? In the good days and in the bad days. You see, David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is what? My shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me to quiet, still waters. But later on in verse 4, David says, but even though I walk through the darkest valley, put this into perspective. The God who leads me to green pastures and still waters, I will praise. I will praise the Lord when I have money in the bank. I will praise the Lord when there's food on my table. I will praise the Lord when there's a roof over my head. I will praise the Lord when all is going well. I will not forget that where I am at today is because the Lord has brought me to this point. I will praise him in the good days. But I shall praise him also when I go through the valley. Not just when everything seems fine in this world. Not only in those moments. I shall bless the Lord when I am under threat. When it is difficult for me to understand what God is doing. When the things aren't clear. When the things are painful. When you are impatient. I will bless the Lord. At all times, and his praise will be on my lips. There's no time that our mouths should ever stop praising the Lord, church. I will praise the Lord at all times, and my lips will not cease in exalting his name. Verse 2 says, I will glory in the Lord, and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Some theologians believe that David at this point was speaking to a group of 400 men who encountered him in the cave of Adullam. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 2 tells us that when his brothers and the rest of his family found out that he was in the caves, they went to see him. Verse 2 says, in addition, he was joined by many others who were distressed, burdened with debt, or bitter. Thus David came to have under his command about 400 men. It is likely that David is speaking directly to those 400 who were distressed and burdened. But notice David's invitation to those in pain, to those tired and afflicted. In verse 3, he tells them, "Magnify the Lord with me." A quick side note, church. When we go through struggles and we go through trials, we often feel we are alone. We often think no one else is going through hard times. You can come to church and you can see your brother and sister happy, and you may assume that everything is well. But please understand, when you come to this place, you are not the only one going through something. We all have pain. We all have trials. We are all going through something. You are not in this alone. But there is one thing that we can all do together in our pain or in no matter what situation. We can all exalt the name of the Lord. Verse 2 says, I will glory in the Lord and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Church, praise does not depend on our circumstances, but our circumstances are the engine that propels us to a higher level of praise. Regardless of life circumstances, we will praise God at all times. In other words, as long as I have breath in my body, I will bless the Lord. Even though I don't see or know what He is doing, I will bless the Lord. And sometimes, church, you just need to look back into your life and remember all the things that God has done in your life. You have to live life going forward, but you can only understand life by looking backwards. You have to look back and see what the hand of God has produced when you couldn't produce nothing. For that reason, David looks back on what the Lord had done for him. And David had a faith file that he can pull out and review and remind himself of God's faithfulness in his life. This faith file reminded David of all the things the Lord has done and why the Lord is worthy of praise at all times. Today, y'all saying, Lord, I seek you. Lord, I seek you. God, the God that you and I serve, He is a seekable God. The Lord is seekable, and we praise Him because we can find Him at all times. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord. Church, the God who is worthy to bless at all times, He is the God that you can find at all times. Our God is available to each of us at any time, day and hour. There is only one thing to do. Look for Him. Just seek Him. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 tells us, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He's not playing hide and go seek with you. He is not hard to find. He is available to each and every one of us in this morning and every day. You just need to seek Him with all your heart. And the God who is seekable is the Lord who answers prayers. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their cry. Now, this is a powerful testimony of God's gracious answer to believing prayer. David had prayed to the Lord. David sought the Lord. And notice how he prays. In verse 8, he says, I cried out to the Lord. In church, there is time that you just need to cry out to God and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I'm just a weak man. I need you. There's a time to cry out to God, church. There's a time for quiet and contemplative. And there's a time for quiet and seldom prayer. But there's also a time to cry out to God. And remember, your prayers will mean nothing. Your prayers will not mean anything to God until they mean everything to you. David cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered his prayer. But may this be a warning today to us this morning. Some get upset or are upset with God when He doesn't answer our prayers right away. Many look at God and view God as a genie in the lamp who answers your wishes at any moment you please. But church, God is the God Almighty. He rules the universe without our advice. He freely chooses to answer the righteous and does it on His schedule and His time, not ours. Who is God to listen to us? David says in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Listen to that, church. Yet do know, the God who is above all, the God who is kings of kings, the God who is supreme, who does not have to listen to us, is the God who chooses to do so. He chooses to hear your cry. For that we bless His name, because we can cry out to Him and He hears us and He will respond. I thought I would have gotten an amen. I don't know if y'all are with me today, but if it's just me, then Lord, let me say amen. The Lord not only is seekable, not only is the Lord the one who answers our prayer, but the Lord relieves our fear. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. This does not mean that David did not have anything to be afraid of. He had plenty of reason to be afraid. But because he knew who his God was and what his God had done for him, David determined that he was not going to allow his fear to dictate how he was going to respond. Trust in God relieves our fear. It does not matter how great the opposition may be. Numbers are not everything. If God is on your side, you are in the majority. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. David says, I am not frightened by my fears because I am living with confidence in who God is. Why should you live in confidence in God? Because God can do what no one can do. Our God is great. Our God is powerful. David is not frightened, not because of how big and how strong he is. David is not frightened because he knows who his God is. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 tells us that the Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? Church, God is our refuge who relieves our fears, which means the Lord protects us. Verse 7 says that the angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him. David assures those who fear the Lord that the angel of the Lord protects God's beloved people. David tells us that the Lord encamps around him. The angel of the Lord may be an indirect reference to the Lord, or it may be an allusion to the host of angels God has charged with the protection of his own. Like when the prophet Elijah asked God to open the eyes of his servant, and he said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see what I see. And when the servant opened his eyes, he seen a multitude of chariots on fire. But the main point is the Lord is on guard for those who fear him. David says in Psalm chapter 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. God is a shield to those who trust in him. A shield is a round military instrument a warrior would use to protect himself in battle, to deflect arrows and swords and all types of instruments that would be used against him. The problem is, though, with the shield, a shield is what? Limited. He may protect his front, but he still has his back and his sides exposed. But David says here, but God, you are a shield about me. Meaning that God protects him forward, backwards, behind, on his side, all sides. God is a shield around him. In church, God is a shield around you too this morning. He encamps around you and he protects those who fear him. And the Lord not only is the one who protects us, he is the Lord who frees us from our troubles. The end of verse 7 in our chapter says, and he delivers them. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. Church, as human beings, how many times have we sought God when we felt like it? Yet in most cases, many run to God when things are bad, when they get their foot stuck into trouble. Commentators are divided as to whether or not David sinned when he pretended to be a madman amongst the king. Whether he was guided by God or whether he took his own decision to run. Nobody knows, only God and David. But I will assume that he ran without consulting God. And if he ran without consulting God, let this be a warning to us to not make decisions in a hurry or when we feel pressure without consulting God. The consequences for making our own decisions are always sad and painful and unnecessary. Just visualize this morning, David acting like a madman. The most honored man in Israel, the ones who everybody's saying about. They said that King Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. The most honored man, the man who walked around everywhere and everybody knew, is now the man who is covered in shame and dishonored in the territory of his enemies. Saliva coming down his beard, having to act like a madman. Each of us knows, and each of us is prone to making bad decisions. For that reason, we need to seek the Lord. But I would like to thank the Lord today, this morning, with you guys, because how many times have we made our own decisions and we messed up, but God's grace has delivered us and saved us from our mess ups. Can anybody testify with me this morning? And we thank the Lord that though we get ourselves into trouble, that God is still faithful to bring us out when we seek him. David says in verse 5, those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. The word radiant in verse 5 describes the joyful expression of a mother who is welcoming her children. The grief, the pain, and the shame that David experienced caused him to be covered in shame. There was nothing that David could do to free himself from the hands of his enemy. But when David lifted up his head to the Lord, it was the Lord who changed his shame into radiance. It was the Lord who changed his tears into joy. It was God who was the one who changed David's heart. The Lord was the one who freed David. And David cries out, I will bless the Lord because he delivers me from all of my troubles. And not only from the troubles I bring upon myself, but from all the troubles that life can throw my way. My God is my protector and my God is my deliverer. Can anyone say amen this morning with me? But not only is God the one who frees us from our trouble, the Lord is good. You know the saying, God is good. And all the time, that's usually the phrase I use to teach people who don't know English. Just learn that phrase and they're good. Verse 8 tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. David just says, taste God. Just get a taste of him. It's one thing to say that the Lord is good, just like saying a tomato or an apple or pizza is good without ever tasting one. But David is wanting us to go beyond that and to experience the Lord's goodness in our lives. And for the one who has tasted God's goodness, will not and cannot remain silent about it. Hence, that's why he says, I will praise the Lord and his praise will always be on my lips. There is something I love to do and I'm starting to see the results of it. I love to go out to eat. That's one of my favorite things to do. And me and my wife, we like to explore new restaurants. And when we really enjoy a place, we typically tell each other, we are definitely coming back. And coming back typically is the next day. And when we like that place, we order the same food because we enjoy it. And another thing we do is we like to recommend places to our friends and families. So I would like to say, like, well, go to this place and get yourself this from the menu. I promise you, it's delicious. And I've had friends come back to me and tell me, man, thank you for that suggestion. It was really good. I enjoyed it. And I've had times when friends have come back to me and said, you like that place? That plate sucked. For those who have come to me to tell me that I don't like that place or why did you like that plate, let me just tell those people today, you are the ones with bad taste. But that's another sermon for another day. But I thought to myself, is God like those meals and those places that we suggest where if you tell them, taste God, will they come back to you and say, I don't like it? I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because if anyone comes to taste the goodness of God, they would say that there is nothing like him. There is no one like my God. He is better than anything that this world can offer. He is sweeter than the sweetest honey. He is the water who fills my thirst. He is the bread of life who fills my stomach. God is good. And when you taste the goodness of the Lord, you won't want to stop. When you have tasted how good he is, just a little nibble of him, you want more and more and more. It's just kind of like a nice dessert or a nice filet mignon. When you taste a little bit and you want more and you want more and you want more. I say God is just like that. When you have tasted the goodness of him, you can't stop seeking him. You can't stop desiring him. You want more of his presence. You want more of his companionship. You want to know more of who he is. He is good. And it was a great blessing for David to be delivered from Gath. And it was a greater blessing for him to be protected by the Lord. But the greatest blessing for David was being near God and enjoying his presence and not just his gifts. Church, we praise God for all that he does, but we praise God for who he is. He is good. David said, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. But we don't only thank God because he is good, because the Lord knows our needs. Verse 9 to 10 tells us, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Throughout scripture, God's people are connected with being sheep. Sheep are not able to hunt or dig up their own food. They need a shepherd to find pasture for them to graze, and tranquil water for them to drink. A sheep can do nothing for itself. It is the shepherd who fully satisfies every need for their nourishment and refreshment. Church, may we realize we are not big and strong as we think we are. We are poor and weak sheep who depend on the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, he knows our needs. He knows when his lambs, he knows when his sheep are hungry. He knows when they are thirsty. He knows when they need rest. And he knows when they are in danger. You have nothing to worry about if you are a sheep in the Lord's pasture. You lack nothing. But there are times when sheep think they are lions. And David says, lions may grow weak and hungry. The word used for lion in Hebrew is kefir, which means a young lion. So he's not talking about a mature lion. He's talking about a little cub, a youngling, one who still doesn't know much about life. A lion who has much to learn. Specifically, young lions are not the best hunters. They tend to miss a meal or two. Some may think this morning and feel like they are great lions. But before the Lion of Judah, you're just a baby cub. I thought somebody was going to say amen. May this teach us this morning to be humble. May we humble ourselves and depend on the Lord. His word tells us that, for I know the plans I have for who? For you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Doesn't Matthew chapter 6 tells us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or what will you drink, or about your body? What will you wear? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And then he specifically says, look at the birds. He doesn't say, look at the lions. He says, look at the birds. They do not sow or they do not reap or they don't store anything away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? God, we thank you because you know our needs. And we thank the Lord because the Lord does not condemn us. Please listen to what verse 19 has to say. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Church, being righteous is not a promise of earthly comfort. In fact, it comes with the promise of affliction. And it does not just say some problems. It says many. The righteous person may have many troubles. The assumption is that deliverance from affliction does not come immediately. Verse 20 tells us he protects all his bones and not one of them will be broken. So the heart of the righteous is often broken with afflictions, and yet it says here that his bones are not. The Apostle John quoted verse 20. Psalms chapter 34, verse 20, in John chapter 19, verse 36, and he applied it to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Do you remember when the Roman soldiers, they beat and they pierced Jesus? But John chapter 19, verse 36 said, his bones were not broken. Hear that. God kept all of his bones intact. And yet still allowed the most righteous man to endure affliction. Church, affliction has two contrasting purposes for the righteous and for the wicked. It has a way of being, I can say. Verse 21, verse 22 says this, evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants, and no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Do you see the difference? Affliction brings down the wicked. It is the end of their story. Nonetheless, affliction makes the righteous more like Jesus Christ. And it is not the end for them. Afflictions reveal your true colors. It is a humbling effect rather than a hardening effect. Affliction has a purifying effect for the righteous, while it has a punishing effect for the wicked. The wicked will be condemned in the final judgment. When they face their judge, the Lord will say, depart from me because I do not know you. But the righteous, though broken, though afflicted, will not be condemned. And we will not be condemned because of the one who paid his life on the cross. We will not be condemned for the one who was pierced, the one who was beaten, but the one who did not break a bone. In the meantime, on this earth, we sometimes find ourselves walking through moments of pain. We can find ourselves to be broken in heart or downcast in spirit. There's a pain, there's a lament, there's darkness at times. And there's a struggle for some to find joy, perhaps many days. A struggle that may be familiar with some of you today. This fight can be in the past, or in the present, or it will be in the future. So what do you do in those days when you are afflicted and you are broken? The answer that Psalms 34 gives us is to keep your heart and hope in God. In this world, we will face hard times. But remember, church, this world is not our destination. We live for another kingdom. In the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are waiting for a Savior from there. In the words of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, we are strangers and in exile here, seeking a homeland. We desire a better country that is a heavenly one. We are looking for the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We live for a world to come, church. Revelation chapter 21 tells us, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or crying or no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So is God with us right now? Absolutely, he is. God is near us when our hearts are broken and our spirits are crushed, whether we feel like it or not. He is with us. And this is not a promise with conditions to it. This is a fact. He is with you. His Holy Spirit is in us right now. For that reason, we have no reason to worry. But our hearts are set in the hope of a day when sin and suffering will no longer exist. And we will be with God in perfect, pure, and endless joy forever and ever. The wicked are condemned, but the righteous face no condemnation because they trust in the Lord our God. God redeemed David just as he redeemed Israel. In church, God will redeem us also from all of our troubles. Blessed be the Lord. In all times, I will bless the Lord, and his praise shall always be on my lips. It is a blessing to live with confidence in God, even in the midst of darkness. It is a blessing to live with confidence in God, even when things are hard. But in all times, I will bless the Lord, in the good days and in the bad days. I will bless the Lord on this earth and on the new earth to come. But his praise will always be on my lips. May you remember all the things that God has done for you throughout this week and never forget to have his praise on your lips. The Lord bless you guys. Let me have a word of prayer for you.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.